if the country could see people who have been in foster care, have been adopted, and have succeeded, then I believe they'll be more motivated to take these kids, because my goal with this is to get 111,000 down to zero.
The world's biggest problems aren't waiting, and neither are the people solving them. Hi, I'm Kara Baskin, and welcome to our podcast, From Problems to Possibilities, Entrepreneurial Leadership in Action, presented by Babson College. Are you like me? Do you see a problem that feels impossible to solve? Don't despair. In this podcast, there's hope. We'll pose a problem, enlist visionaries within the Babson community and beyond, and explore possible solutions. There's a lot we're going to learn right now as we go from problems to possibilities. What if I told you that America's foster care system, which many people say is too broken to fix, wasn't beyond repair at all? What if it could be transformed through the same entrepreneurial leadership that builds and scales businesses?
Hi, I'm Sandy Bravo, Associate Professor of Practice and Marketing at Babson College.
Sandy is also an entrepreneurial strategist who created the 440K Project. 440,000 is the number of children currently in the U.S. foster care system. The mission of Sandy's project is to redesign the foster care system with an audacious goal of reducing the number of kids in foster care to zero. Sandy, I'm thrilled to have you on our podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
What sparked your interest into solving one of society's most urgent challenges, foster care?
I realized that every child needs a home. And an experience in when I was a sophomore in college had led me to realize that children suffered tremendously as a result of being in foster care.
The U.S. foster care system oversees the placement of more than 400,000 children, moving them from homes where it's dangerous or even potentially deadly.
And situations like neglect and abuse.
When I was in college, I got the opportunity to mentor a little girl. She was 13, and she was in foster care and voluntarily mute. She would not speak to anyone because the level of trauma was too much. Her mother was a drug addict and a prostitute, and she got bounced around quite a bit. I realized she just needed somebody to love her. And I came from a family, you know, we didn't have a lot, but we had love and we had food on the table, and I had parents that loved me to death and would sacrifice their life for me. I could not understand how we wouldn't have that for every child, really on the face of the earth, but certainly in foster care. So my husband and I went on to adopt two boys out of foster care. I feel like Babson's given me the wonderful people that I've needed in order to move the needle on this. Foster care is a big system in the United States. When a child is abused or neglected, a mandated reporter, usually a teacher or even a guest company person that goes in the house and sees something going on that isn't quite right, will report it to the Department of Children and Families. They are then responsible for checking it out to see if the child is indeed unsafe. If the child is deemed unsafe, they often remove the child and the child goes into foster care, which means that they go either to family members or more likely they end up with people they don't know. So they go to people's homes, people get paid to keep them, and the court system sort of works out with the parents trying to get them to do things if they need an apartment or they need a job or they need anger management classes. And very often the child can end up going from foster home to foster home. Across the nation, the average length of stay in foster care is 2 years of a child's life, which is a long time. If the parents are deemed fit, the child can go back. If not, then the child sometimes is up for adoption, sometimes is not. If they age out between the ages of 18 and 22, then they end up out on the street. And depending on what state you live in, sometimes you can get some help, sometimes you can't. Massachusetts happens to be one of the states that's more generous in helping these kids with housing vouchers and other things. But as you can imagine, it's not a good life.
Your idea to fix foster care is broken down into what you call cohorts. You have three of them. So just to situate us, can you talk a little bit about what those three cohorts are?
I looked at the system and I said, okay, it's an enormous system. How can we make it better? What if we took the kids 18 to 22? What do they need? And then what if we took the 111,000 kids that are up for adoption in the system that no one wants to adopt? How do we get them adopted? And then the third cohort eventually will be kids in the system. How do we make the system better for them?
Where are you at now?
What I decided to do was hold a think tank, a redesign session. We pulled a lot of really smart people in a room and we said, okay, here's the situation when kids turn 18, between 18 and 22, and are basically left out of the system and have to fend for themselves. What could we do to help them? Someone said, how about if we developed an app that gave kids the opportunity to find out, where do I find low-cost food immediately or free? Where do I find free or low-cost housing? How do I get mental health services or physical services immediately? How do I find a job? Who would hire me in this area? So then I started thinking, well, this isn't going to do them any good if they don't have a computer. So Dylan Zajac just recently graduated from Babson. He started a nonprofit called Computers for People. He collects old computers. They can be like 2 to 4 years old or whatever the criteria is. And what he'll do is refurbish them and give them to people in need for free. So we had a Zoom session. I said, look, we got 23,000 kids a year who age out of foster care in this country. We're developing an app for them to try to give them all the information they need by region of the country, but they don't have a computer to look at it on. And he goes, we can handle that. So now they'll get a computer. They actually get internet service through him, either free or low cost, and they'll have the app. And so then I said to Dylan, okay, so you have truly taken on, as a Babson grad, the entrepreneurial role. I teach strategic marketing, which is a capstone course in marketing. I said, how about if I have my students do a marketing project for you where we bring in more computers? He goes, done. So it's amazing the amount of Babson people who have been involved to try to get all of this done.
Taking 10 seconds to ask a favor. Share this podcast with your friends and colleagues and click follow so you never miss an episode. Now back to our conversation. Obviously, you can reach out to folks on LinkedIn or know them through the Babson ecosystem. But you personally also had a really strong passion for addressing foster care issues. And I'm curious as to what role personal connection and personal history plays when pursuing entrepreneurial leadership.
Everyone has something they can do. So when I did my TED Talk, I said,
the first step, should you choose to change your corner of the world, find your passion.
I always tell my students, do some pro bono work on the side. Even if it's just a little bit, over the course of a 30 or 40 year career, you've done something good for the world.
You hold the power to change your corner of the world. What corner of your world will you choose to change?
I really believe everyone should do something. Everyone says, well, I'm busy. Well, we're all busy. So let's push that aside and move on.
How do you connect with folks who might be similarly apt to pursue entrepreneurial leadership but might not have the exact same background or personal history that you do with foster care?
I talk about the outcomes to kids. There isn't anybody who has a beating heart in their body who doesn't say, this is unfair and unnecessary. I believe problems are fixable. I've always believed problems are fixable. There's very few people who you tell them the outcomes to these kids and the plight of these kids that say, oh, I don't want anything to do with this. Most people say, I really do. And actually, especially at Babson, we have put together a team. Scott DiGiammarino is an alum. He's on my board. Haley Pesci, one of the best students I ever had, is on my board. Aaron Walton, who is an alum, does my advertising, the creative stuff for free. Walton Isaacson, he runs that agency. It's amazing when you just talk about the truth about these kids and people go, you have to be kidding me. I think because people don't know, the system hasn't had a lot of changes. Most people try to set their kids up for success. When they're bounced around from home to home in foster care, we're setting them up to fail.
Our podcast is called From Problems to Possibilities. The problem does seem intractable. How do you address something so overwhelming in a way that feels manageable?
Breaking it down in the cohorts made a difference for me. I also feel like when I'm completely overwhelmed, I just kind of think, okay, I need somebody good to come help me with this. So one of the pieces for me is that I have no political connections at all. And part of this is getting DCF, on board with what we're doing because we need access to information, we need access to people, we need to find out all that they know because they're the boots on the ground. At Babson, so Kevin Sullivan and Catherine Craven knew what I was doing and they were very supportive.
Kevin is Vice President, Strategic Corporate Relations and Engagement at Babson College, and Catherine is Executive Vice President, Administration.
And so Catherine sent me a text a couple months ago and said, what are you doing Tuesday night? Well, I'm just not that interesting. So the answer was absolutely nothing. And so she said, how would you like to meet the governor of Massachusetts? And I was like, sure. It was a fundraiser for Maura Healey. So we get in to the venue, it was at City Winery, and in comes the governor. And Catherine brings me right over and says, oh, Maura. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, because I'm going to call her governor.
Which is probably the right instinct.
Right. You know, my heart is just like beating out of my chest. And because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is the governor of Massachusetts. It was down to 20 second pitch. I usually have like a 2 minute pitch to people about what I'm doing. I was like, so nice to meet you. And, you know, my name's Sandy Bravo. I teach at Babson. I have the 440K project and we're trying to help kids in foster care. And she said, you need to talk to the DCF commissioner. So I call up the commissioner's office, told him who I was and said, I met Maura Healey. I should call. So got an appointment for a Zoom meeting with the DCF commissioner, gave her my pitch. She said, you need to meet my team. So I met the entire executive leadership team of DCF. And I knew so much was riding on this. I was such a wreck. I'm on Zoom. They're in person. These are all the most important people. This is my one shot. I try to get on and lo and behold, the technology didn't work. They had me on speaker and I said, how about if we just start? Well, the beauty of that, I could read off of my sheet of paper because they couldn't see me.
That's beautiful.
I kid you not. As soon as I finished, the video came on and I was like, okay, well, that was good.
Someone was looking out for you.
That's exactly right. And at the end of that meeting, they said, we want your team to meet our team and we'll work on the kids that are aging out.
We want to know your opinion on this topic. Send your comments to podcast@babson.edu. Now back to our conversation. You had an element of personal tragedy in your life as well with your son. Do you have any lessons about dealing with personal challenge and using it to motivate you even more?
Yes. My oldest son, JR, we adopted him when he was 5. He was severely traumatized. At 9 months old, he was non-responsive to human beings. There was a drug bust at his parents' apartment. They went in and picked him up off the floor, and he was just covered in his own filth, and he wouldn't maintain eye contact. He wouldn't cry. He wouldn't laugh. He wouldn't smile. He looked almost like he was dead, except his eyes were open. He went back and forth to his parents in foster care for 4 years after that. He was not up for adoption until he was 5, and my husband and I adopted him. We did everything we could for him, absolutely everything. The one time he would look into my soul, he would put his arm on my shoulder and he'd say, Mom, you need to fix foster care.
What would bring that up?
If I was just working on something for 440K or just sometimes, he would just say it out of the blue, which is weird, but it was on his mind. And then when he moved out to Philadelphia, he had a bad day. He had mental health challenges and he wasn't taking his prescription medicine. So he bought one pill on the street and it was laced with fentanyl. They found him the next morning. I was happy that he saw that I started the 440K project before he died. And when I have those moments of, I don't know if I can do this, this is too huge, in those times I think about JR for sure. And I also think about all of the 440,000 kids. And I think anything I do will be an improvement.
What sort of work do you hope to do or are you doing with kids who are younger? What will that success and building on it start to look like for you?
If the country could see people who have been in foster care, have been adopted, and have succeeded, then I believe they'll be more motivated to take these kids because my goal with this is to get 111,000 down to zero. And think about this, Kara. If we can get that number zero or close to zero, there won't be any kids aging out. I would love Simone Biles to do a press tour across the country. She was in foster care, and her grandmother adopted her. And she said, when the Olympics is over, I want to help with foster care.
I was in foster home with my siblings for a couple of years. I know exactly what these kids go through and kind of what these kids need to be successful when they're older. Having that one constant person in their life from whenever they're young all the way through high school graduation, that's actually really beneficial to the kids.
She went through struggles with mental health. She gets it. And for her to say she wants to do something in foster care, and I think she has done some stuff, I want to see if she'll do a press tour and get that $111,000 down to zero.
Is it asking families to adopt a child out of foster care? Is that the goal?
That's the goal. For that cohort, that's the goal.
Where do you think the disconnect lies? Is it an awareness issue that we just don't know that all of these kids are languishing in foster care? Is it a reluctance to adopt because you don't know if the child has emotional or mental health challenges?
It's both of those things. People are shocked at realizing there's 111,000 kids that need a home. So if people don't know, they're not going to do anything about it. So I always tell people about it, and then I go, now you know, what are you going to do to help? And the other thing is, these kids are traumatized. So it's not easy raising these kids. And I also think mental health professionals have better tools now to help kids. It gives me a lot of hope.
Bottom line, how can entrepreneurial leadership help to fix the foster care system?
The key is when you have really smart people with really good hearts and understand the nature of entrepreneurship and problem solving, which requires moving the needle, not just conversations, but what functionally can we do to solve problems? When you do that, the sky's the limit. There isn't a problem you can't fix.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would love to share, especially for folks listening who might want to learn more about the 440K project or who might want to volunteer and get involved? Where could they go?
For background, they can go to my TED Talk if they Google Sandra Bravo TED Talk. My website is 440kproject.org. On my website, you can go to a map and find your local DCF office. There's also a list of things that you can do. I just ask that people have some stick-to-itiveness and decide that they want to do something. And if it's not in the foster care world, that's fine. Do something else, but do something good for the world that you stick to and actually work at for a period of time.
Thank you so, so much for being a guest on From Problems to Possibilities.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
The conversation doesn't end here. Share your comments at podcast@babson.edu. You never know, we may use it in an upcoming episode. Plus, you can help grow the podcast. Share it with your friends and colleagues, click follow so you'll never miss an episode, and leave a 5-star rating and review, which tells the algorithms that we're doing something special here. Thanks for listening to From Problems to Possibilities, Entrepreneurial Leadership in Action, presented by Babson College. I'm Kara Baskin. See you next time.